save the earth.
The Green Divas.
With style and mirth.
The Green Divas.
Got your every need.
The Green Divas.
To keep you healthy and green.
The Green Divas.
They got green dudes too.
The Green Divas.
With more green news, you got to believe us. Listen to the Green Divas. Green Divas Radio Show.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yeah. Chicago represented. Booton, New Jersey represented.
In the house.
In the house. What's wrong with me, man?
We're goofballs.
We are being goofy. So you have kind of an exciting week ahead.
I do.
The weekend.
I am going to Farm Aid on Saturday.
Yeah, and I'm
excited about that. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I was a tiny bit jealous because
I know. I wish you could be here for it.
Did, but I had my time in 2007, which was really one of the highlights, seriously, of my career was going to Farm Aid. It was a lot of fun, and I think you'll have a good time.
Yeah, and it looks like I might meet Ian Mellencamp.
Well, and what a cool guy that he is. I got a chance to speak to him today for this show.
Yeah.
You'll get to hear that coming up. And Ian is, well, not only is he adorable, and I'm just saying, you ladies, young ladies, please, he's a model and he's...
Yeah, he's, I don't know, sorry to say, but he's pretty hot looking. But I'm sure he's beautiful inside and out.
Well, he is. He's so cool. And his music is really, I mean, I sincerely really enjoyed it. And I liked one of the descriptions of his music was anti-pop. And that's kind of like me. You know, I'm not I'm kind of off the trail a little bit. So I really enjoyed his music. And wait till you hear his personality. He's a really sweet guy. And so I think he's going to, he's an up-and-comer.
Awesome.
And he does happen to be related to one of the founders of Farm Aid, John Mellencamp.
So. Oh, good old John.
And John is his uncle, of
little
course.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Oh, no, we're breaking into song. So, sorry, John
I wasn't
Mellencamp.
Meant to be a singer.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think we do pretty well. It's, you know. But he, his father was also musical. His whole family is musical. So,
well, I can't wait to see him live.
Yeah, I think he's gonna. He said
hopefully I'll actually shake his hand too.
And they told him he's gonna be on stage around 1 o'clock at 1 o'clock. So, if you're there, check it out. And if you're not there, you can also see it live streaming.
And he's going to be at the Elbow Room. In Chicago.
Right on.
Also,
that's
that same weekend.
Yeah, I think it's the 18th he's going to be there, and it's a kind of nice, intimate venue. I would go if I were there.
Indeedy. Maybe I'll, who knows, maybe I'll go.
Oh, I'll get my nephew
to like
go.
A lot of activities for me in one weekend, though.
Oh, my God. You're like party girl.
I guess.
You party girl. Maybe I'll get my nephew to go to the Elbow Room.
Hey, there you go.
If he's not going to Farm Aid, because he might enjoy it.
Exactly.
My nephew.
Well,
who's...
and Mike Novak's going to be meeting up.
Our
with
green
me
dude,
there.
Mike.
Yeah.
Or Green Devo, as he prefers.
Yeah, he likes to be called Green Devo.
So, anyway, later in the show, you're going to hear from Ian Mellencamp. We also have a health and beauty segment with Mika Hollander, who, with her parents, I think her father is one of the founders of Seventh Generation.
Yes, he is.
And she and her mother and father started a sustainable condom company called Sustain Condom. But, you know, part of the motivation is all about women's reproductive health. So it's an interesting segment. I hope you'll listen to that.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Foodie File, we're talking to Holly Thompson about stocking your pantry. In your refrigerator, whatever, but how to, you know, just sort of stock very basic food to have on hand for health.
Yeah, that seems like it'd be very important. I tend to be a little disorganized in that area, so I'm going to, maybe I'll have to listen to that maybe, I'm thinking 7 times might do it.
Yeah.
She'll have a post to go with that, too, so that'll be extra helpful.
Maybe it'll stick. I don't know. And then we have a new EcoSexy segment, a new contributor, Veronica Monet.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear her segment.
And, you know, we did several segments kind of, you know, connected, and this is the first one all about healing shame, which is so vitally important to have any kind of healthy sex life, I think, personally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just way too much shame going around.
Right on. And, well, it looks like she's an activist for women's empowerment and sexual rights, so she's, you know, doing some good stuff out there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed chatting with her, so tune in for that.
Good combination. You got some condoms and a little eco-sexy, and then you got Ian Mellencamp going on. There.
Oh, my God. We are just such cougars, right?
Hey, now.
Hear us roar.
Oh, brother.
So then we were just going to mention to everybody to please check out our YouTube page. Please subscribe.
Oh, please do.
We have a bunch of videos coming up. They're fun. They're short. Swear to God, they're going to be entertaining. And
please subscribe and press that like button.
Yeah.
And leave a comment.
Yeah. Even. Nice. Yeah. Be nice.
You know. Help a green diva out, as you like to say.
Help a green diva out, man. Well, Lynn,
green dudes, welcome.
You have fun this weekend, and you're going to report in, and you may even get us some audio clips to play next week. So
yeah, that would be fun.
All right, people, stay tuned. Good stuff coming up. Vibrant health and beauty radiates from the inside out. Get your glow on with Green Diva's health and beauty tips, from natural skincare to creating healthier habits that make us sparkle. All right, so this is a topic we don't talk enough about, at least not here on the Green Divas, but it is something I'm personally very passionate about. And I was so inspired by this young woman, Mika Hollander, who, with her parents, has started a company. They founded a company called Sustain Condom, and it's sustainnatural.org. And it's all sustainable, vegan, healthy, natural products for whether they're condoms, lubricants. And what they're doing is part of what motivates them, at least from what I can understand, is helping educate women and women's health issues and supporting women's health. They have a program called 10% for Women. And I just want to talk to her more about this, because this topic is, you know, important for me. Anyway, hi, Mika.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. And I love what you're doing. And so let's talk about 10% for Women.
Great. Yeah, so 10% for Women. So when we started Sustain, we really wanted to focus on women for a few reasons. One is because, you know, when you look at the category of sort of sexual wellness products, condoms, lubricants, et cetera, you quickly see that these are products that have been marketed to men since the beginning of time. And so we found that, you know, interesting, and we dug a little bit deeper, and we found out that not only are many of these products, and in some cases a higher percentage, actually more so women than men, are purchasing these products. But we also realized, you know, a lot of the sort of health and life effects of not using these products get sort of put on the woman.
Yeah.
So when you think about things like 50% of pregnancies in the U.S. are unintended.
Wait a minute. Let me just pause on that statistic. 50%? Did you say 50?
50. It's significantly higher than in most other developed countries. And obviously, it's for low-income women, the rates are five actually times higher than for women at higher income level.
Wow.
So, and when you think that all that comes with that, and, you know, we can get into the STDs and all of that stuff as well, we just realized there was obviously a problem here. And so a way that we wanted to try and address some of these issues and really sort of start a movement to get women more empowered to take control of their sexual health and family planning was not only by starting Sustain, but also giving 10% of our profits to women's reproductive health care organizations only in the U.S.
Yeah. So some of it's education, and some of it is actual access to health care, right?
Yeah, a lot of it's both. It's exactly what you're saying. It's a strong mix of both. I mean, you see, you know, the rates of single women using condoms are not much better or worse depending on, you know, what income level person you're talking to.
Right.
So education is a huge part of it, and obviously the sex ed in the U.S. is sort of pathetic at best.
It hasn't, and I don't know, you're a lot younger than me, but I think it's gotten worse.
I think that, you know, a big part of it is just sort of the program aspect in terms of what they're teaching in school, but another part of it is really the fact that many parents, you know, at best have one conversation about sex and sexual health with their kids.
Right.
And I think that's an area that we could sort of move the needle a lot more quickly. I think from an institutional level, there are so many factors involved and there's, you know, so much going on and it's not looking good. But
It seems to have been like this conservative push in certain areas to teach only abstinence and kind of remove some of the other vital bits of the educational process.
Yeah, there are certain states that require abstinence education, and what's really interesting about that is that the teen pregnancy rates are actually much higher in those states than in other states.
Not really a surprise. You know what I mean?
Not a huge surprise.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, research has obviously found that young people who receive comprehensive sex ed are much less likely to report pregnancy than these abstinence-only education programs. And, I mean, it makes sense. But I think it's obviously unrealistic, and I'm not sure if it's changing. There's a huge, you know, I think a lot of the issues that we're fighting against today, whether it's Planned Parenthood and abortion access to anything else, is really, it feels like we're sort of fighting a fight that was fought, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah. Roe v. Wade. Hello. Supreme Court issues. I mean, they're all right there.
Yeah, Lena Dunham actually today is starting a movement called Ask Your Mother, and she released a series of stories about women who got abortions in the 60s and how sort of crazy it is that some of those stories could be told today.
Yeah. So that's the other part is access to adequate health care.
We are giving in the U.S. only because, you know, people in the U.S. like to think of ourselves as sort of doing everything well compared to everywhere else. And I think when you look at, you know, there's 20 million women in the U.S. who lack access to reproductive health care and family planning services. And that's sort of a scary number. And then you look at what's happening politically and you look at organizations like Planned Parenthood whose funding is at risk and it makes sense. I mean, it's an underfunded area to begin with, and now looking at states sort of pulling the plug on even funding these organizations is obviously going to have us going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Come on, people. Anyway, so I really, it's interesting that with your folks, can you just speak for a minute because we're going to have to close up, but about how you got into this business with your parents? Which is a little unusual, see.
Not typical. My father started Seventh Generation almost 30 years ago, which is the first brand of sustainable household and cleaning and personal care products in the U.S. So he's been in this space for a very long time, and I sort of grew up in this space. And you know, I always say I didn't know at a young age that I'd be creating a line of condoms with my parents, but developing a sustainable brand with them is definitely something that I always sort of thought about, and I didn't really know where my place would be in this sort of sustainable business movement, but I'm become extremely passionate about women's health and reproductive rights issues in the past 5 or 6 years, and so this sort of felt like a good marriage of both the sustainability issues and the women's health.
So. Well, it's brilliant, and I'm very, very glad that you have followed your passion, because I think it will have a wonderful impact on the world. I met your pop. It was some event a few years ago. He had some beer. He had started a line of beer. Orleo, does that sound familiar?
No, but you might be thinking of his partner in Seventh Generation. Went on to start Magic Hat.
I don't know. I swear it was your dad, though, because I think I recognize the name, but who knows? And it was a few years ago. So hats off to you and your family for, you know, continually coming up with solutions for some of the problems we've got that are all about sustainability and the connection between health, nature, planet, and, of course, women in this instance. So thank you again, Mika, and I hope we get to talk to you soon.
Great. Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Are you sparkling yet? Well, you will be. For information on this segment and lots of other healthy, green living information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Each year on Public Lands Day, people across the United States volunteer to improve the nation's parks, preserves, and conservation areas. Held on the last Saturday in September, Public Lands Day dates back to 1994. Sarah Espinoza, Managing Director at the National Environmental Education Foundation, says volunteers are often motivated out of gratitude for the many benefits these areas provide.
It can be building and maintaining trails, planting trees, building pollinator gardens. There's just a plethora of activities that take place on National Public Lands Day. And it's all designed to lend a hand to our public lands managers and actually give back some service to these lands that are there for all of us to enjoy.
These areas are more than a place to hike and play. They also help slow the effects of climate change.
Public lands, from the federal all the way down to the local area, really play an important role in climate mitigation and carbon sequestration. The national parks alone absorb about 14 million metric tons of carbon dioxide each year.
So taking part in Public Lands Day is also a way to fight climate change. More information can be found at publiclandsday.org. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Excellent. Another delicious foodie file with Holly Thompson, who's the author of Discovering Your Nutritional Style. And, of course, Holly, H-O-L-L-I, Thompson.com. Hi, Holly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good, and I'm hungry now. So we got to, like, get to this so I can go feed my little face. So
great.
I think we have a really great, great topic today, and that is about stocking your refrigerator. Like, what are the basics? Tell us how you stock your refrigerator.
Great. Well, you know, stocking your fridge, I have found, is really a key piece to maintaining your nutritional style, and that means eating in the way that best serves you and gives you the most energy and keeps you at your best weight. And that's, you know, that's how I refer to it, as your nutritional style.
Yeah.
So if your fridge is empty and bare, and you know you are, you know, you're looking for a meal, and you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you're gonna reach for maybe some processed pasta,
right,
and throw it in water. You know, you're going to do something that might not be ideal.
Yep.
So stocking your fridge is a key piece too. You know, when I work with people, we get into it. Let's start at the beginning. How about
okay.
that? I'll
okay.
talk through what's in my fridge. So, okay, so one thing I always have on hand are citrus fruits, lemons and limes. Lemons and limes are alkalizing, right? I mean, I add them to water every day. I love adding a lemon or a lime to a green smoothie or a juice each day. You know, I use it for dressings. It's just, it's a really healthy, alkalizing way to get some vitamin C and, you know, just freshen up food. So that's always in my fridge.
Me too.
Number two, especially this time of year in the winter, I am a huge fan of fermented veggies. So fermented vegetables would be like a raw sauerkraut. Or a freshly made kimchi, something like that. Yeah. I mean, you know, even a great pickle is going to be, it's fermented. And the reason I love fermented vegetables, especially in the winter, is that they contain probiotics, natural bacteria, healthy bacteria that feed your gut, that strengthen, therefore, your immunity, which we all really need right now. And don't forget, you know, you and I have talked about a little bit about my book before and how, you know, this approach to seasonal eating. Well, our ancestors, they put up vegetables, right? They didn't have a lot of fresh vegetables. So they were naturally eating fermented vegetables every winter. So I think it's a great habit to get back into.
Well, it's one way to preserve vegetables and obviously our bodies, you know, get different nutrients from it.
That's probably
appropriate this time of year.
So the next we would have healthy proteins on hand. So this really comes into play depending on your nutritional style. You know, are you a vegetarian? Are you a modern vegan? Are you a healthy omnivore? And depending on your nutritional style, this is what you want to make sure that you have on hand. You want to go as healthy as possible, you know, with eggs that are from, you know, organic eggs that are from your neighbor's farm, if you can, and, you know, the healthiest grass-fed, hormone antibiotic-free animal proteins, if that's what you're having, or raw goat cheese, if that's what you're having, you know. So taking care to source out those healthy proteins really will pay off to your ultimate health.
Yes.
Next, I love having an assortment of dark leafy greens. You know, dark leafy greens are loaded, right? I mean, loaded with protein. If you hate kale, you know, if you're on the banned kale parade, then, you know, have tried fresh spinach instead or Swiss chard. You know, I know I have clients who hate kale. They're like, I am not going to eat kale. So it's like, fine, get some baby spinach. Throw that in whatever you're doing. You know,
I have to say I don't love kale. I mean, I don't hate it. I just don't love it. So I find ways. I put it into my smoothie in the morning and you don't even know it's there, even though the smoothie ends up green. You don't even know it's there. And I put it in every juice I ever made just to get it in there. But, you know, there are ways to use it.
I'll tell you one thing that I do. This is a great tip, especially if you have kids. Shred your kale into ribbons and add it into a meatloaf or a hamburger.
You never know, right?
It disappears in the meat, and no one knows it's in there. And your kids are eating kale.
I love it.
I love it.
Yeah, actually,
in a burger.
Freakishly enough, of course, they would have to be my kids because I fed them vegetables as children. But my kids love kale. They love Brussels sprouts. You know, they like everything.
Awesome.
I got lucky.
Cool. So then you want to always have seasonal veggies. You know, take time to think back to, what is seasonal? And, you know, do you really need that whatever it is in the middle of winter? Or is your body being drawn towards those good winter vegetables like Brussels sprouts or Jerusalem artichokes or cabbages or, you know, your hearty root vegetables? That's what your body is used to and, you know, programmed to be enjoying. And so, you know, tune into that. Think about that.
Yeah. I always just keep I keep a lot of carrots, a lot of organic carrots in my refrigerator for cooking and juicing. I always have the greens. I always have onions and mushrooms. You know, those are like my, those are like my staples in the winter. I have lots of other fun things, but those I always have. Those and the citrus, like you said. Sounds like I'm actually right on board. I have the fermented veggies and everything.
You are a green diva.
Hey, I want to ask you about something I'm just trying for the first time. Shrub? Have you ever, speaking of like fermented things, have you ever made a shrub? I'd never even heard of it.
Oh, no, a shrub, is that the
it's like a probiotic juice, yeah.
Where they're actually distilling down herbs and they call it a shrub. It's an old-fashioned thing.
Yeah.
I love shrubs, actually. You know, they can taste quite good. And what I have done with shrubs is add them to some sparkling water.
Yeah, that's
what just a little bit as a flavor. So if you are, you know, if you're trying to get off your nightly wine, I know that, you know, I work with a lot of my clients. It's a nice way, that or even bitters. Adding bitters to a sparkling water.
So maybe we have to do a whole other segment on the shrub, because I'm starting my first one using strawberries and apple cider vinegar and a tiny bit of maple syrup.
Oh, it sounds yummy.
Yeah.
Sounds yummy.
Got to try it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holly.
Really
I'm looking forward to talking more. And again, I got to go eat now.
All right. Okay.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Being green can be so sexy. Well, at least you can be sexy and keep it green. Check out the Green Divas Eco Sexy Podcast for ways to keep it green in the bedroom or wherever you like to have sex. Ooh, another eco-sexy segment, this time with someone new, and we've been working on getting together with her, so I'm glad it's finally working out, Veronica Monet. And are you related to the artist by any chance?
Unfortunately, no.
But it's just such a cool name. Anyway, for a cool woman who is a relationship coach and a certified sexologist. So, yeah. And she's all about understanding how our sexuality and the earth and natural environment affect, you know, how it all ties together. So, you know, without further ado, we have an interesting topic today. And I really am anxious to hear about this one because shame is such a big part of our culture in particular. And I'd love to see ways to stamp it out.
Well, so would I. That's kind of why I founded the whole shame-free zone.
I'm sorry. That's right. I was going to mention that people can find out more about you on theshamefreezone.com. But I think today's...
That's right. And they can also contact me if they want, veronica@theshamefreezone.com. So, you know, one of the things that I have been talking about is how healing sexual shame can actually shift human culture toward a healthier relationship with the environment.
I like that.
And I know that's kind of a stretch for some people.
Mm.
First of all, we're living in a culture which seems to not be sexually shamed at all, because there's like all these explicit images and people are talking about sex. But one of the things that I think is still really prevalent is that we've got this disconnect around sex with the rest of our lives. We don't have a holistic approach to sex for the most part. So it kind of exists off in a corner, where I call the sexual ghetto. And people can be very spiritually evolved and working on aspects of their lives, and then all of a sudden the sex thing is like, I don't know, over in this place where it's really undeveloped and not looked at.
It's like cordoned off, like, no, okay.
Exactly. And it's not only, you know, has a really deleterious effect on one's sex life, but it also affects our relationship with everything else, including the planet.
Mm.
We have this sexual shame that causes us not to see how sexuality is kind of embedded in existence itself.
Right.
And not, you know, the focus a lot of times is on genital sex. We seem to not be looking at kind of the sexual nature of life.
Right.
So flowers, we love flowers. They're big, smelly sex organs.
Yeah, right? How about it?
Springtime, we love birds. We like to hear them sing. You know, that's all about sex. They're either procreating or trying to announce their territory to procreate.
Right. Well, there is. There's such a natural rhythm to sexuality in nature and in the just even the seasons, as you said.
Yeah. And it, you know, if we have this inability to see that it's just a really natural, beautiful part of the planet and life on planet Earth, then our approach towards sex can kind of start to become more consumerist.
Yeah.
I think it takes a less spiritual
right.
component to it, where we might be kind of looking just for the short-term
right.
fix, like we want to get an orgasm.
Sort of a superficial, you know, way of dealing with
yeah,
maybe the world.
Cost-benefit analysis, unfortunately. And
yeah.
Am I getting an orgasm, or am I trying to create a baby?
Right.
Or maybe I want to do both.
Or maybe I just want to be loving with my partner. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's a fabulous expression of that, I think. I mean, and so is creating a baby. And
yeah.
so is having an orgasm.
Yeah, they're all good.
But seeing those things kind of parceled out like that to me is not holistic.
Okay.
So a holistic approach to sexuality might just be that we're living on a sexual continuum, and that everything from the Big Bang that created the universe to evolution itself to the bonding between a mother and a child, it's all bathed in this beautiful oxytocin. It's all very sensuous. Mother Earth is inviting us to have this orgasmic relationship with her. And
yeah.
And I'm not talking about going out and humping trees.
Right, right, right. It's not literal.
No, I'm really talking about honoring the sensuality and the sexuality and the bonding and the connection that sexuality brings. So we would have a different approach towards birth, even.
Yeah. And the birthing process, perhaps.
The birthing process could be an orgasmic birth. Or at least an ecstatic birth.
Right.
But we're so afraid of our sensuality and so afraid of our sexuality that we try to pretend those things don't exist, or we turn everything into something that has to be painful.
Right. Like sanitize it all, yeah.
Well, you know, and some people enjoy pain, and I'm not against that either. But this idea that life on planet Earth actually was meant to be very much about connection, our connection. So if we look at sex in a way that isn't shaming and we take a more holistic approach to it, we might be able to see that it's really about building connection. And if we are looking at connection as our dominant theme here,
right?
Excuse the oxymoron, dominant theme, right? Connection.
That's funny.
Then we're going to see that our connection to the planet is the central theme. That's a better choice of words. Central, not dominant.
All right.
The central theme to life itself is about connection. And if we're really connected to the Earth and all of her creatures, then it's going to be really difficult for us to take it for granted, to treat it like a resource that we just want to basically rape.
So it's sort of like
if our sexual approach is shame-based, then we're more oriented towards a rape mentality, and that really does create a rape relationship with the Mother Earth as well.
That makes sense to me in a lot of ways, because I think of it just almost, if you were to think of it as like chakras, and whether you understand them or believe in them or whatever, you know, there are different centers and different, how do I put it? It's like the same place in us that is open to a healthy sexuality is the same place that has us appreciating and loving Mother Earth and the natural connection. Am I getting that right?
I think so. Absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to ecosexuality, our relationship with the environment, with ecology, and kind of blending that with our sexuality, there's a lot of different voices on that topic and room for so much variety. And I think it's really important that we each find the thing that calls to us. I know for myself, it's so much about embracing my connection to the Earth that I don't feel separate from her.
Right,
and,
right.
and I feel very grateful to her. I also feel like I'm in partnership with her, not like we're kind of moving towards this idea of maybe Mother Earth is actually Lover Earth, or I like to think of her as my partner,
right,
the Earth.
Right.
If I'm thinking of her as a mother, I may just want to take from her. But if I'm thinking of her as my partner or my lover, I want to give to her as well.
Well, and it depends whether we are teenage children or adult children to Mama Earth.
This is true. I move in and out of those states all the time.
Because if we're defiant or are we like, you know, grown-ups about it, I don't know.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do want to be a child, and sometimes I am, and I'm really glad she can be my mother. But, you know, if that's all the relationship is, you know, defined by, then, of course, we're where we're at, aren't we? Which is we have completely raped the forests and the oceans. And we're facing, you know, a potential disaster here.
Right. So it's I think we have to come at this from every angle. And like you said, holistically, whether it's understanding the sexual, our sexuality in a holistic way that makes that opening more possible. I think all of it all makes a difference. And I'm glad we're exploring this with you. And I'm looking forward to doing more segments with you so people can stay tuned. And in the meantime, they can go to theshamefreezone.com and check out more of Veronica's work. Thank you, Veronica.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Megan.
Turned on yet? Well, go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com, to learn more about this Green Divas Eco-Sexy podcast and find other low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
While it would seem to be impossible to burn water for fuel, one car manufacturer is using a revolutionary technology to do just that. More after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order tall grass beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
When Hyundai first hit the U.S. auto market in 1986, Americans scooped up the inexpensive little car in droves. Now, 28 years later, Hyundai engineers have found a way to use water as a fuel source that is converted into hydrogen electricity that powers the car, giving it an astounding 400 miles per tank full. Test cars in Sweden and Copenhagen have promising results. The cost is a bit high, around $100,000 per car, but Hyundai expects to get it down around $50,000 for the American consumer in a year or two. It's not exactly the flux capacitor in Back to the Future, but it's going to change the future for sure. I'm Bill Curtis with Earth Matters.
Fun interview that I've been looking forward to. I'm really sad I'm not going to be in Chicago this weekend to Farm Aid. Now, and we used to be sponsors of Farm Aid when they were here in New York 1 year in 2007, way back in the day when this guy was probably just a youngster. But Ian Mellencamp, what a handsome young guy, great musician. He's a model. And his music has been described as, which I love, sort of psychedelic, electronic rock. What I really liked was anti-pop. I kind of really gravitated to that. But if you haven't heard his music, please go. He's been a busy guy this week with Fashion Week. He's been in demand, so we're very lucky to have him. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. And, you know, like I said, Lynn's going to get to go to Farm Aid, so you might get to see her out there. But not going this year. I'm kind of sad.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you'd be there or not. I'd love to meet Lynn. Yeah, she hit the nail on the head. Things are kind of crazy up here in New York right now.
Yeah.
The old Fashion Week's happening, and not to mention Farm Aid coming up.
Well, I guess
trying to keep everything together.
Good to be in demand, man. Well, take it while you can.
That's what I keep telling myself.
So let's just address the last name and get it out of the way, because you come from a family. Obviously, your uncle is John Mellencamp.
Who's that?
Who's that guy? I know. But, you know, I mean, he's a cool guy. I got to meet him back in the day when I was, you know, at the Farm Aid in 2007. What a genuinely neat guy. But how influential has he been on your life and your world in terms of becoming a musician and performing?
I mean, it's hard to deny, you know, to say that he hasn't been a big influence, because I grew up, you know, attending his concerts and sitting on the sidelines and watching and just observing what he does. I mean, he's affected me in my songwriting to a certain extent. I don't play the same genre of music, but he always gives me some words of wisdom once in a while, and I like to say kind of keeps me on the right track. But you know, I really also, it was just a musical family. My father was a singer.
Oh, cool.
It still does sing around the house once in a while when I'm in town.
I do that to my kids, too, yeah.
Yeah, you do? do you sing any John Mellencamp to them?
You know, I have. Like, I have to admit, you know, I have. Because
yeah.
It's very singable.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I, you know, now we're in the whole electronic, write everything on your computer, sort of, you know, which I do once in a while. I still, you know, still like to write on the guitar and, you know, bring it to the band. But he was also, I guess, you know, sort of an influencer with kind of incorporating some of the, you know, the 808, the technology of the day into the more traditional songwriting. So there's definitely some parallels there. But, just growing up around it, he was an influence, as well as my father really was influence number one.
Well, yeah, you'd think, right? Dad tends to be an influence.
Of course.
So now, what about this Farm Aid thing? And John has been a driving force in Farm Aid, which has done a lot for small and family farms all over the country and to bring attention to the plight of family farmers. Do you feel strongly about the Farm Aid cause?
I do. It's really amazing. And, you know, since I guess I've started attending more frequently as I've gotten a little older and more aware of it the past few years, and kind of getting an understanding of what it's about. And, you know, it sort of changed from the 80s when it started.
Right.
Focusing mainly on, you know, definitely on farmers, but now it's kind of adapted as many things do with the times. I feel strongly about this, the green
yes.
movement, as
yes.
I'm, you know, as you did too, you know, and a lot of, you know, people in my generation are, you know, we're becoming aware of, you know, the water issues, and there's definitely some of the issues that I feel very strongly about, and I felt strongly about growing up, and I'm just really happy to be able to be a part of something that supports that.
It's cool. It's funny that you mentioned it, because I did notice, I mean, there has been a shift from just helping the family farmers that were unsupported back in the 80s to now let's create a platform where these farmers can have access to more sustainable practices and all this fun stuff and education. And it's really very exciting to see all that. And So there's a lot of musicians involved. Have you done Farm Aid before?
Could you repeat that?
Have you done Farm Aid before as a musician?
I have not, no.
Ooh,
no.
So this is exciting.
It's very exciting.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Wow, I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun being there in 2007. I haven't been at a show like that in many years. Of course, I'm older.
Yeah.
But are you like a tiny bit anxious?
You could say that. I don't like to think about it too much.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, before any show, I don't wait till I'm, you know, I wait till I'm up there and then.
Yeah.
So I just let it go, you know.
Let the energy move you.
Yeah. If I think about it too much, other than jinx myself, or I don't know, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac, so maybe I'll get.
No, I get you.
Flu
okay.
On Friday night or something.
No, you won't. No, you won't. You're going to have a good time. But I'm just thinking about how incredible as a musician it would be to be there with Willie Nelson and your uncle. And I mean, you've probably grown up around these people anyway, but to have that concentration of intensity with Neil Young and Dave Matthews, come on. There's some really cool musicians.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing going to play it and rather than attend it.
Right, because you probably
you know it's astonishing to me. I'm getting to play with some of my idols growing up. I mean, obviously Willie Nelson, but Neil Young. I've just kind of been infatuated with these past few years, especially.
Oh yeah,
you know, just I started as a singer-songwriters on the guitar writing songs, and it's adapted now into more full-on psychedelic sound, five-piece electronic a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you're just playing songs on the guitar, I mean, Neil Young is a really good person to listen to and check out.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's just everything, yeah.
I'll tell you that in 2007, sitting in front of those guys when we were doing the press conference, I was like, I couldn't even breathe because they were my idols growing up, you know, all of them. I was like, oh, my God. Well, Dave Matthews was later. But so it is kind of fun, and it's different from being on the sidelines as, you know, John Mellencamp's nephew to now you are. You're going to be on stage.
Right?
You're the man.
I think therefore I am, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm super thrilled. And I am Dave Matthews. I mean, massive influence. I just want to say he was actually the reason that my high school band got started. And it's now here, you know, I cover, you know, we got together with some of my best friends in high school, and we didn't really play too much music at the time. I had been playing, you know, I was playing some tuba in like junior high.
Oh, cool. All right. A tuba guy. I'm very impressed.
I'm a tuba guy.
I'm very impressed. I played the flute. How embarrassing is that, you know?
Yeah. It's good, you know. It's from it gives me a little bit of legitimacy as a musician, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
I was in the honor band and all that fun stuff, but we don't want to get too deep into that. But yeah, Dave Matthews was the reason that we got together. We played some of his songs for the talent show in high school, and now here I am playing with him. It's pretty I don't know, it's remarkable.
Well,
cool.
And I've had the opportunity to meet all those guys at least once, and the most remarkable thing is how each of them were so genuine and real, and I'm sure they're going to kind of make you feel comfortable and you'll have a lot of fun.
I've met Dave and Willie. They're just nice down-to-earth guys,
right?
Yep.
I mean, who else to do Farm Aid? So tell me about your thoughts. I mean, the Farm Aid thing is one thing, but do you have thoughts about, you're obviously between being a model, a fairly well-known, successful model, and now a musician that's getting out there. Do you have any thoughts about using your, you know, your celebrity capital that's growing for any kind of particular causes? Is there anything that pulls you?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm slowly kind of getting involved in a few things. More, you know, up here locally in New York, you know, there's the Green Market in Union Square.
Oh, I love that place. Yeah.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah. Yep.
You can just walk around there and just pick at snacks all afternoon. really, yeah. And then there's also that aren't so, environmentally, agriculturally. There's this group called Daniel's Music that I'm performing at, and it's more of a music therapy kind of thing.
Oh, neat.
Some of my bandmates are kind of exploring how music affects people, mentally, psychologically, and we're trying to get involved in some ways that we can really help, I guess, if you want to go the full nine, humanity on a musical level, and kind of do what we can to provide, and make the world a happier place, I guess, if you really want to get down to it.
Well, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
I think it's a noble, noble goal, and I'm sure you're well on your way already. I was very happy listening to your music, just saying.
Thank you.
And I think, as things evolve, you'll find your way. Now, Brooklyn is like such a green area. Now, you're not necessarily, we talked about this before, Park Slope, which is like a very, very eco little chic place. How is your neighborhood? Is your neighborhood a cool green place?
Yeah, it is. It's changed a lot over the past 10 years. There's a lot of musicians and artists are moving out here. It's like, I guess it's kind of been likened to the Lower East Side in the 80s or, back in the day in New York. So it's a cool, I guess you want to use the word hip, vibrant community. And there's a lot of these little rooftop gardens or backyard gardens. A lot of people are, trying to grow the food on their own.
Cool.
I'm a big advocate of the local,
yep.
the local food movement. I think that's great. People are growing their own food.
Yep. And urban gardening.
Kind of really getting, gardening, it's simple as that, just gardening. Just knowing exactly where your food comes from, you go pick it, wash it, and eat it directly there without any middleman or middle chemicals and all
exactly.
that stuff,
It just minimizes all the damage potential, right?
Yeah.
Such happier food. Now, so. Happier food, happier people. I don't know. Maybe a happier earth. So now tell me, do you know what time around you're going to go on Saturday so I can make sure people know?
Yeah. I'm supposed to hop on stage with the band around 1:10. So right around 1 o'clock.
Okay. So I'm just going to tell people that if they can't get to Chicago, that it will be, I believe it's simulcast.
Because I
think we have a banner on our site for that, so you can find it easily. But if you just go to farmaid.org, you can find all the errors. I don't remember exactly what the website is, but people, if you just Google FarmAid, you'll find it.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's farmaid.org, yep.
I thought so, but then I thought, I'm not looking at it. So, listen, you have Break a Leg or whatever you say to musicians. I'm in the theater side, so whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hope you have a marvelous, fun time helping raise awareness, having a good time doing it. And, we'll talk to you again soon. Maybe we'll get to see you play out here sometime.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting Lynn. It was really nice talking to you, Megan. Thanks for your time and for supporting the cause and doing what you do and hanging out with, standing up with the green issues.
We try. We all try, man. All right. Thanks, Ian. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.